Christian Parenting.
Aloha, friends, and welcome to the Monica Swanson Podcast, powered by Christian Parenting. I am Monica Swanson, mom to four boys, wife to Dr. Dave, podcast host, and author of Boy Mom, Raising Amazing, and the newly released Becoming Homeschoolers. Here on the podcast, it is my goal to bring you practical advice and biblical wisdom for raising amazing kids and building strong families. You can always find show notes over at monicaswanson.com/podcast. I'm so glad you're here, and I hope you'll be encouraged. Hey friends, welcome back to the show. I am super excited to share today's conversation with all of you. I have my friend, Brooke McLaughlin, on. Now, Brooke's been on before. I'm going to link to the other episodes she's been with me on, but she's been a favorite. She has had episodes with some of the most downloads on this podcast because she talks about important things. And today we are talking about praying for our kids, especially as we begin this school year. Now, I know whenever I talk to a Christian girlfriend, we agree. We want to pray more. We want to pray more effectively. And yet life is busy and sometimes it's hard. And sometimes I know people are like, I don't even know where to start. Well, Brooke is our woman and she's going to bring a lot of encouragement and practical help on this topic. So I just can't wait to share this conversation. I think it's going to be one of your favorites. So, I will let her introduce herself and tell you all about what she does, but this is her jam. So you're in the right place if you want to grow to be a prayer warrior for your kids this school year. Now, before we hop in, I do want to remind you that it's the end of August, which means next week is the beginning of a new month, September. It's officially fall, right? So, what you need to know is that at the beginning of each month, I send an email to my email list with just the most fun links, updates, some photos. Usually I share, like, you know, if I have a new shirt that I like or a book I'm reading or something I'm doing with my son or a Spotify playlist, that's where I share all the links and all the fun. People love my, I call them a coffee date at the beginning of each month. I like to imagine we're both having coffee and just hanging out, chit-chatting. So if you're not on my email list yet, this is your time to join it. You can go directly to monicaswanson.com/subscribe. Join that email list. I'll never share your email. I'll never spam you. I take good care of my email subscribers. So I hope you can join me. And then next week, you'll get that fun first of the month email. Okay, be sure to listen to the end of this episode because of two things. One, Brooke shares a really sweet prayer that I think is for all of us. You don't want to miss that. And then afterwards, I give you a little heads up about what I'll be sharing in the month of September, a new series I'm doing that I think a lot of you are going to want to be a part of. So tune in to the very end, and I'll see you there. Hey, Brooke, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thank you for having me, Monica. I feel like, you know, an old friend, which I am,
totally.
But it's been a while.
Are. It has been. And I'm going to link to other episodes you've been on with me, as some of them have been some of the most downloaded episodes on the podcast. So you, I know, are a treat for everyone to get to listen to, but I'm chuckling as we open. I think it's fun to share with people what old friends do for one another. So I was having technical difficulties. And since Brooke has all the capacity to also record podcasts, we switched. So she's recording us, even though she's a guest on my podcast. So thanks, Brooke, for helping me out there.
This is what friends do. Absolutely.
It is. And I'm just going to say, as we open, I'm going to have you introduce yourself as well. But how special this is to just be with you and to look back. We both have grown sons mm-hmm. in our homes as we record because it's summertime, but we have been together writing, doing ministry since the days that you ran the Mob Society, which a few people out there know about. I know the Mother of Boys Society when I was a young, just, you know, fledgling blogger trying to figure my way out of into all the things. I didn't know what I was doing, but you welcomed me into your writing team. And that was really the beginning of everything that I now do. Mm-hmm. And so what a gift to think back. We both had little boys mm-hmm. and we were in the thick of it. We were praying for them, encouraging each other. And now here we are with grown sons, still doing ministry, but things have shifted and changed. And so with that, now you get to jump in and tell people who you are and just where you've come from, the Mob Society, what you're doing now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks again for having me, Monica. It's always a treat to get to hang out with you, not just for podcasts, but I feel like we have so much in common that we can just talk forever anyway. Mm-hmm. So we'll try not to do that today. We'll try to be more targeted, but sometimes the best things come out of just chatting. So you never know. Right. But anyways, my name is Brooke McLaughlin, and I did start writing around the same time that you did, maybe a smidge before. I don't know, maybe not in the grand scheme of things. We've both been doing it a long time, so it doesn't really matter. But I started out in ministry just to mothers of boys at the Mob Society. I always tell people when I mention Mob, I'm like, it's nothing nefarious. Like it's nothing bad. It's mothers of boys. So because I always get looks when I say that.
Yeah,
and just so that people know, you can still find that website. It's still around. Like there's not been anything new on it forever, but there's still a lot of good stuff on there. So if you are a boy mom and you're listening, you can go back and find Monica's old posts there as well.
There's a lot.
There's a lot. So yeah, so I started out doing that. That ministry led to my first book, which was Praying for Boys. And that led to a lot of other opportunities for ministry, which I am so grateful for. In 2019, right before the world went crazy, we shifted to a full-time focus on prayer. And so we went from the mothers of boys to Million Praying Moms. And our goal really was to reach a million moms. And I think, you know, if you look at like any one of our social media channels, there's not a million there. But I think between everything and then the reach that we get when gracious hosts like you allow us to have to be on the podcast and things like that, I mean, I think we probably are close. And I'm so grateful for that opportunity to reach moms with the message that prayer is not a last resort. It is the first and best response to motherhood, really to womanhood, to being a human being, to being a child of God. Prayer is our first and best response. And that's really what Million Praying Moms is all about. And I've been doing that for a long time now, encouraging moms to pray, encouraging them to get in God's word and pray. And that's kind of who I am and what I do. And here's a little extra special treat for you. I actually just went back to work part-time in crisis pregnancy ministry. I did. I'm the client services director for my local CPC, and it is just, I've been doing that ministry off and on my entire adult life as well. It's been very tied into my, you know, just what God has called me to do. And that has been such a treat, such a joy as my boys have gotten older and I've had a little bit more flexibility. I've been able to do other things that I love as well. So
that is so fun. And that goes along so well with everything we're talking about in motherhood, because there are seasons and you know, that kind of launching season can be challenging. I think we're going to try to touch on that before we wrap up, but I love that you have returned to a passion. I mean, it never left you, but you're able to physically show up and also mention where you are and what ages your boys are now.
Yeah, absolutely. So we live in Southwestern Virginia in the mountains of Appalachia. I have been married to my husband, Corey, for 22 years this summer. Had a crush on him since the third grade. That's a true story, but we didn't start dating until way later. So, so that's us. And our boys they just turned 17 and 19. So I actually have a rising junior in high school. And then I have my older guy is getting ready to go back to college for his second year next semester. So, or next week. So big stuff.
Yes. So. Wow. And I just have to say that Appalachia, I've gotten into full on arguments with my sons over that because they swear I'm saying it wrong. And I'm like, no, I know from Brooke that that's the right way to say it.
So I always tell people, if you get it wrong, I'll throw an apple at you. Like that's how you can know that you say so. No, like there are parts of the mountain ranges where people say Appalachia, but, like if you say it that way, we're going to know immediately that you're not from here.
I love that. That is so much fun. So much fun. Okay. So we are really talking, we're sharing this in the month of August as we prepare for the school year. You know, even people who don't have kids in school, I feel like that August, September, it's kind of like the other new year, right? Mm-hmm. Where we're just shifting gears. And so I'm really wanting to focus on this season ahead and praying for our kids and what that looks like. And I think you bring up prayer, and there's all different responses, reactions, even within us. We might love the idea of prayer. Most of us don't pray as much as we wish we would or feel we should. Mm-hmm. So maybe we can start with that, because I know that people listening, some of you probably have a vibrant, thriving prayer life, and others of you wish you could. But let's talk a little bit about the challenges. What keeps us from praying? Tell us what you've discovered in all these years of digging into the topic mm-hmm. of prayer.
Well, I think, Monica, there are practical reasons that we don't pray, things that like all moms experience that keep us from having the kind of vibrant prayer life that we would like to have or think we should have. But there are also some spiritual reasons that we don't pray the way that we should. And so we can kind of go into both of those if you want to. But for the moms that are listening, I find that the most common reasons that we don't pray are, I actually did a survey several years ago to ask moms that exact question. Like, if you think you should be praying, but you are not, why? And I got so many answers to that. And I began to see, you know, patterns, repetitions. And so some of them were what you might expect. Like, I've got a house full of small children. I can barely think, much less pray. And I remember that, you know, we're not so far removed that we can't remember what that feels like. It is hard. You feel like your brain is mush all the time. And so it becomes difficult. Like, you do feel challenged in your thinking, and you think, what happened to my brain? I used to be able to think straight, and now I can't. And it is a real thing. And so there's that. I think some of the moms that I've talked to have said, not just that they have young children, but that they have a lot of children. And so their houses are rambunctious and loud, and their kids get up before they do, and things like that. And so the scheduling becomes an issue. So there were very practical reasons like that, but there were also some spiritual reasons. Like, I'm mad at God. I've been praying for a long time for this one thing, and I just don't feel like He's hearing my prayers anymore. Wow. I've prayed and I've asked, and He's not responding. And I don't understand why, because I know He could do it. And that is a really hard place to be as a believer, to know and believe that God is good and that He is capable. But then to see Him withhold something is hard to process sometimes. So there's that. Some of the women felt like, you know what? I got to get my life back together. I got to get things straightened out. I've strayed from the path, and I just don't know if God wants to hear from me right now. So I got to get things straightened out, and then I'll come back to the Lord. Then I'll start praying. Those are some of the big ones that we, and then of course, like the super practical was, Brooke, I just don't even know where to start. I want to pray. I know I can see in Scripture that I should be praying, but I honestly just don't know how. I don't know what to even say to God. It feels weird. It feels strange to be talking to someone that's not sitting right beside me. And so help me even know how to start.
Yeah. Okay. I love that. And maybe that's a good place for us to go next for anyone listening who would say, yeah, that's where I find myself today. Can you speak into that?
Absolutely. So the first thing that I want to say is that prayer is not rocket science. It is not that hard. And if it feels really hard, it could be that you are making it too hard, making it into something that it doesn't have to be. Tim Keller said, prayer is a conversation that God started. So I find that really comforting, especially for the moms who would say, I don't know where to start. The truth of the matter is that you're not the one starting it. God actually started it, and He is inviting you into this conversation that He has with you. And so I think that's an important distinction. It still doesn't necessarily help us know exactly what to say, but just to understand the magnitude, the privilege really that it is that God offers us and says, hey, daughter of mine, I'd really like to talk to you. Let's talk. If you look at it that way, it changes things a little bit. So I find that laying that foundation is important.
Definitely. Yeah. Yes. I love that. Okay. And then from there.
So I teach moms at Million Praying Moms to pray Scripture, because for me, it is one of the most helpful things that I can do. I never run out of things to pray if I'm praying Scripture. And I can always figure out what to pray when I'm praying scripture. So my story is that when my boys were little, they were born 23 months apart and they rocked my world. I often tell people that they kicked my feet out from under me in all the best ways. And I know that now when my oldest is 19, in the thick of it, it didn't feel good. And so I had been a believer for a lot of years at that point. And so even though I was really struggling in my parenting of these wild and crazy boys, I knew where to go for help. And so I began to cry out to the Lord and say, my earliest prayers, Monica, were just help me, Jesus. You know, like I need you right now, Lord. Please come right now into my home. And I began to realize that I could ask God to join me right now in this moment. And that was profound for me. I knew God. I had been walking with Jesus for a long time, and I even knew his word pretty well at that point. But it changed my relationship with the Lord to think about his presence with me right here, right now. So that's one thing I would want to say is maybe an aside is that if you're a mom listening right now, you can ask, just ask. He will come. I promise you, he will come if you ask him and invite him into the messiness of your day. So do that. I was in the book of, in this season, I was studying in the book of Ezekiel, and I cannot tell you why. I do not remember. It may have been a women's Bible study. Like, I would not say to your moms, if you want to start learning how to pray, go to Ezekiel. That's not what I would say. It's a hard book of the Bible, but I was there for some reason. And so, I came to Ezekiel 36:26, which says that God is the one who changes hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. And it was like a light bulb went off in my mind and in my heart, because I realized that all the things that I was struggling with my kids, well, maybe not all of them, but a lot of them, some of them were my responsibility as a parent, and some of them were really God's responsibility. And there was nothing I could do about the things that were God's responsibility. So it was a relief to me to realize that no matter how bad I messed everything up, God was the one who was going to turn hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. He was the one that was going to take my children's hearts and say, follow me, follow me. And so it was a relief. And I just kind of organically began praying, Lord, would you turn their hearts of stone to hearts of flesh? And I wrote it on sticky notes and I put it all over my house in all the places that I, you know, frequented, like bathrooms and kitchens and things like that. And every time I would walk by, I would pray, Lord, would you turn their hearts of stone to hearts of flesh? And from that one experience was birthed this, I hesitate to use the word addiction, but I kind of became addicted to praying God's word. Wow. I began to go to it and say, Lord, show me what to pray. And I think the reason is because Hebrews 4:12 tells us that God's word is living and active. You know, it's not like any other book out there, Monica. It is alive. It has the ability to change the heart. That's what that verse essentially says. And when you couple that with Isaiah 55:11, which says that God's word will not return void. In other words, it will do exactly what God purposes for it to do. Well, I just thought to myself, what better thing is there for me to pray than God's word? And so I believe that God is going to be faithful to his word. I'm really careful to try not to take it out of context. I don't believe that God is obligated to answer prayers when I take his word out of context. I think he's obligated to his word because that's who he is, but he's obligated to what he meant for it to say, not necessarily me taking it and making it what I want it to say.
Good point.
But I just started doing that and it changed everything. And so I would encourage moms to go to God's word. And here's the fun part, Monica, about that. It's like my sneaky backdoor reason for wanting moms to pray God's word. It's because God's going to change your heart. As you go to God's word and you are searching for what to pray for your kids, he is going to change you. And as we all know from math 101 or maybe algebra 101, if we change one variable in the equation, the outcome changes. There may be other things that stay the same that you have no power over, but the end result is going to change. And that's where the power and strength comes from. So wow. That's how I teach moms to pray, is to go to God's word, look for what it says about your, you know, what is God saying through his word, through his story that applies to your life, and pray that back to him, pray his promises back to him. Amazing. And watch him move. Yeah.
I love that. Okay. And I you know, I'm a fan of your book, Praying Mom, of all your books, but Praying Mom has how many? A lot of scripture-based prayers that you offer.
Yeah, there's
right?
a like lot.
50
there's
or something.
It's yeah, I can't remember exactly how many. There's some at the end of each chapter, and then there's a section
in 50, the, I believe.
Yeah, okay, in the back, so there's like a ton.
You gotta love it when we have to like open our own books and remember. But I thought I would ask your permission to share just a couple of those, perhaps in show notes, mm-hmm. and then we'll point people to where they can get the book and get all of those prayers because. Yeah. I agree with you. It's powerful. And then the more you practice praying those, the more you are hiding God's word in your own heart. And then you remember those scriptures when you need them, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe tell us, how much time would you say that a mom just starting this prayer journey for her family, do you time yourself? Do you suggest committing to something? Mm-hmm. What does that look like practically?
So I think there's a starting time, a chunk of time that you might want to take to get organized. And then mm-hmm. there's the ongoing time. So that can look mm-hmm. different. The very first time that I really went to God's word and searched for what I wanted to pray for my kids took me about 30 minutes. And mm-hmm. I asked my husband to watch the boys. They were still really young. And I went upstairs with a notebook and a pen. And mm-hmm. I opened the concordance of my Bible. Mm-hmm. And I looked for... I made a list of things that areas, most of them were character traits that mm-hmm. I wanted God to work on in my boys. And if I'm mm-hmm. If I'm honest, most of them were negative at the beginning. Like, mm-hmm. I wanted him to work in one kid who was struggling with anger or disobedience mm-hmm. or whatever, fill sure. in the blank for your child. And as I was writing that list, I would just go to the concordance and say, Lord, what does your word have to say about anger? Or what does your word have to say about disobedience? And I had this spark that I just have to believe was from the Lord in that moment. And I felt like the Lord just said, flip that. And so instead of looking, so I had my list of negative traits. So instead of doing that, I looked at, okay, what's the biblical opposite, the biblical positive of anger, or wow. the biblical opposite or positive of disobedience is obedience, right? So instead of focusing on the negative, I made a list of the positive alternatives that I wanted God to work in their hearts. Wow. So I didn't want to necessarily like pray against something. I wanted to pray for something.
Yeah.
And so, what I did. Yeah. So I made this list of all these verses that I felt like the Lord was showing me that applied. And then I just kind of, I turned them into a prayer. Wow. Some scripture verses lend themselves really well, like they're ready-made mm-hmm. prayers, and others yeah. you kind of have to tweak a little bit.
Sure.
But I did that process, and then I just mm-hmm. wove them into one big long prayer, Monica. And mm-hmm. I printed it out, and I framed them, and I put it outside, hung it outside of my boy's bedroom door. And every night before we would go to sleep, my husband and I would go in and pray for them, like in person, but then we would go outside of their door, shut the door, and lay hands on their door and pray that prayer for them. Mm. And so that's kind of how it started. I just printed it out and I prayed it every night. This you know, scripture. But over the years, I have done other things mm-hmm. where I will take time in the morning to pray. I will keep a prayer journal, maybe. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I really love to set, like if one of my kids is going through something difficult, or let's say they're in exam week or something like that, I will actually set my phone alarm to go off on the hours mm-hmm. and I'll pray for them every hour when it goes off. So it just kind of depends on what's going on in their lives and what they need. There's lots of different ways. There's really not a wrong way to pray. But there's lots of ways that I've applied that over the years. And I do go over some of those inside of Praying Mom.
Yeah. That's so inspiring. I love all of that. And then we're going to get a little more specific on the school year, but briefly, mm-hmm. I'm curious if part of your process has also then been teaching your kids how to pray mm-hmm. scripture. It feels like yeah. the natural next
it
thing.
It does. Yeah.
Have you been able to do that? And any tips for us?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it helps to start young because mm-hmm. they are, you know, they're just like open books when they're their belief mm-hmm. is so much easier when they're little and in some ways. And so, you know, it helps for that. And so one of the things that that I often say to moms is pray out loud over your children. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That has been very fruitful in our home. And I know that that's uncomfortable for some moms. There are people mm-hmm. who find it very awkward to pray out loud. And I would just mm-hmm. lovingly and gently say, get over that. And do it anyways, because it really makes an impact. I wanted my children to feel extremely comfortable around people of God praying. And I feel like we've been able to do that in our home. And if you ask them to pray, they will pray. You know, I have one that's slightly more comfortable with it than the other. And that's just an individual differences kind of thing. But they will do it. And I love that. So I think creating an atmosphere of prayer where you go first, you do it first, and let them see you looking at the Bible to figure out what to pray. And I've actually kept all of my prayer journals over the years, Monica, and I have them in my granddaddy's Navy chest. And I hope to just give those to my boys one day where they can see, you know, this is what mom prayed for you.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a gift. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that so much. I want to tell you about a podcast sponsor that I'm a big fan of, diveintomath.com. Now, most of you know that all my boys have been homeschooled, and the oldest two went on to college, where the oldest graduated with a degree in data analytics, and the second son will graduate this year majoring in mechanical engineering. And both of those boys took science classes and Shorman math classes through the diveintomath.com website. In fact, they went all the way through an AP calculus and an AP physics course, and they believe that those classes really well prepared them for their college classes ahead. Now, Dive Into Math offers self-paced courses in state-of-the-art e-learning systems featuring expert video instruction, interactive assignments with auto-grading and grade recording, video solutions, and Q&A support with Dr. Shorman, who happens to be our good friend and is such a great man. Dr. Shorman teaches everything from a biblical perspective, and he offers a historical foundation which teaches the why of learning math, which is really helpful. Shorman Algebra 1 and 2 teaches every concept on the PSAT, SAT, and ACT with over 200 practice questions, which, if your kids are interested in college, is going to be really, really helpful. Now, I have a lot more to say I'll be sharing in the months ahead, but definitely go over to the diveintomath.com website. Check them out. I think you'll be impressed. It's back to school season and life is busy, but you can fuel up your whole family with Factors, no prep, no mess meals. Can meet your wellness goals thanks to the menu of chef-crafted meals with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Factors fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in, get this, just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you'll always have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals. Make today the day you kickstart a new healthy routine. What are you waiting for? With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, you'll always have new flavors to explore. You can crush your wellness goals this month with dietitian-approved meals and ingredients that you can trust. Make your day delicious from breakfast to dessert. Stay fueled with easy, nutritious options. Head over to factormeals.com/Swanson50 and use code Swanson50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code Swanson50 at factormeals.com/Swanson50, and you're going to get your 50% off your first box and 20% off next month while your subscription is active. I hope you love it. Let me know how it goes. So you have Million Praying Moms community, lots of cool stuff. I'm going to have you tell us more about that before we close. But Tara Cole wrote a book called Everyday Prayers for the School Year. And as we are kind of focusing on that right now, any specific tips or takeaways that you would recommend as we're looking at these kids? You know, our audience is mixed. We've got some kids sending, and some parents sending their kids to a traditional school, some homeschoolers listening, and some are a mix of the two. So maybe you can just share any encouragement for the school year prayers.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that we tried to do, so Everyday Prayers for the School Year was written by Tara Cole. It is a Million Praying Moms book, which is why, you know, it's like one of our books, but she wrote it. So one of the things that we tried to do, because both Tara and I have a background of doing a little bit of everything educationally. Mm-hmm. I was not homeschooled. My husband and I don't even know that my parents knew what that was when we were being raised, but we went to the public school in our town. Right. Tara was homeschooled, I believe for all of hers. I think that's right. Mm. And she has her kids in school, and I have homeschooled, private schooled, and public schooled. And
there we go.
Yes. So we've just done what we felt like the Lord was asking us to do in the season. Yeah. I have at one time had one in public school and one at home homeschooling. So I understand mm-hmm. this mixture of do what we feel like God is calling us to do, and we do it with excellence. But one of the things that was important to us because of that, wide array of experiences that we had was to write that book in a way that any mom, any educational mm-hmm. choice could pick it up and say, mm-hmm. I can find something in here to pray for my kids. And so it mm-hmm. is intentionally written to everybody. But one of the things that we did was kind of break up what are the areas that we really want to be covering for our kids. And the two that rise to the top are praying for their teachers. And I know even as homeschoolers, co-ops are such a big thing now. They weren't when I first started homeschooling, but they are now. And so our kids get exposed to, even if they're just getting different Sunday school teachers or whatever, mm-hmm. they have different influences in their lives at different mm-hmm. times. And so we're mm-hmm. praying for those influences. Would you, Lord, bring the right one? Would you mm-hmm. organize and orchestrate all of this to be perfect and exactly, not perfect in that it has no conflict, no nothing at all, but would it be perfectly what you want yep. for my child in this yeah. season? Mm-hmm. And so that's a big one. The mm-hmm. other big one inside of the book that we find so many moms want to pray for is their children's friends. Mm-hmm. And I have to tell you, I recently, within the last month, posted a prayer on the Million Praying Moms Instagram that was centered on the idea of asking God to surround my children with godly friends. Mm. Monica, we are at almost 50,000 likes on that post.
Wow.
I've never had one go that far. Like it's, I'm like, I think we hit a nerve. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that is another area that is just really important. Moms find really, really important because we know, and I've heard you say this so often that, look at who you surround yourself with.
Yeah.
Because there's your future. It's so important that God give our kids that the right friends.
Yeah.
And
yes.
It doesn't always come easily. And so it's something that we need to be praying for and being intentional about. So those are two of the top areas that I really find moms want specific prayer for.
Sure.
And they're both covered in the book.
I love that. Mm-hmm. And I also just love that, as we, start a new school year, whether we're sending kids off or not, there's that nervousness and anxious. Sometimes, moms just aren't ready to let their kids go, and maybe we'll touch now on that next stage where we're sending kids off even far away sometimes to college or the military or to a new job after high school. But I think that when there's something we can do, like we can't go with them, we can't be always by their side in that case, but we certainly can cover them with prayer. And how great to have scripture-based prayers, especially that we know we're praying God's word for our kids. So I'll link to the everyday prayers for the school year, of course, in show notes, as well as Praying Mom and Million Praying Moms. But let's just for funsies, because I know some people listening also have kids that are either launching this year, getting ready to launch maybe in a year or two and already feeling all the feels. Or maybe there's some moms listening who have older kids who have already launched, but how's it going? Give me some takeaway. We haven't gotten to even talk about this yet. Everyone listening can know that we started to chat about this before we hit record. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, let's save it. Let's let everyone listen. So I've got two who launched across the ocean from me. How's your experience been? And how's this affected your prayer life?
Yeah, definitely. So one of the things that is a little different about my situation than yours is that mine's like an hour and a half away. So that's
rub
a little
it in.
Different. I know. I'm so sorry. That's so tough. I don't have that experience. That requires a whole new level of trust, doesn't it? But I think that might be the heart of what this conversation is about, is that launching your kids requires a whole new level of trust. And I think for me, one of the hardest things about launching my son, my oldest son, was going from, you know, their senior year of high school, at least my experience, was that I saw him a lot less just organically and naturally. Anyways, right? They're very busy with their friends and their activities. And my son was playing baseball. He plays baseball in college. So we were talking to, you know, having that those conversations, which is an entirely different podcast. But there's a lot there. But, you know, he was busy. He was very, very busy that year. But I always knew where he was, always. And I knew who he was with. And I knew if he was going to get in trouble. And like, if something happened at the school, I was going to get a phone call about it. And there was so much, even though he wasn't physically with me, I knew so much more in that, had so much more information in that season. And when he left, the hardest part for me was not knowing. I really struggled with that in the beginning. And okay.
Are you a find my phone person? Do you follow him around on your phone?
So yes. So we use Life 360 and our rule, yes, our rule on Life 360 is as long as I'm paying for your phone, I can have Life 360. So when, so when you're done and you are on your own and you're paying your, or if you want to start paying for your own phone bill before, then you can, we'll let you off. But I actually am not like overbearing with it. I don't check it every 5 seconds.
Okay. I'm just going to hop in to say that I don't know if it's a personality thing. I've never done that with my kids. And everyone I know does. So part of me thinks if I started, I would probably start doing it. It's just like, because I'm a little bit older and old school and technology in general doesn't come natural, I just started learning to like shop online and it's changing my life. So I'm a little slow to these things. But I kind of laugh that like my friends are like, well, are you constantly seeing where they are late at night? And I'm like, I've actually never done that. So some of you out there might be better off not, because sometimes I think the more I know, the more I'm going to worry. Yeah. So don't think, mom, that you have to do it, but I know most moms.
Yeah. I think that's a really healthy way of looking at it. Like we have it, but I don't feel it's a comfort to me to know that anytime I want to, I can, you know, I can check and make sure he's okay.
And I can. My youngest son will, if I need him to, he'll hop on my phone and show me. Like, he's okay. He's back on campus, mom, or whatever.
But I try not to micromanage that. I think is a really important thing not to do that.
Okay. Sorry, I got down a little
rabbit. No, it's fine. I don't think there's a right or wrong answer there. I really think it depends on your parenting style. And he is an adult, but we are still paying for everything. And so there's some responsibility that comes with that, right? So
Okay, so you sent him off a year ago. He's been away already 1 year. And I'm sure that you found your prayer life to be as important, if not more important than ever.
Yeah, absolutely. I think maybe one of my favorite sayings of this season is that I'm not always going to know what to do, but I can always know what to pray. Nobody can tell me to stop praying for him. He may, you know, our children may go through different things. There is a season where they, I think it's fairly normal for them to own their faith. They've got to, you know, they've been wearing a faith that may have been very genuine, but may have looked a lot like, you know, ours. And we want that. We want that. That's what we're trying to do. But they have to make it their own. They have to literally really have to internalize, and they have to answer the big questions. And and sometimes they're going to have big questions that we don't have answers to, because there are questions of the faith that I'm convinced just don't have answers.
And which is why we need faith, right?
Exactly. That's what I always say. That's why they call it faith. But that's the season that comes, and it's a right and good thing for them to go through that. And so my prayer in this season, more often than not, has been, Lord, show me, show me what I need to know, make the hidden things known. Help me to see what I need to see. Help me to love him the way he is, but show me what I need to see. Open my eyes. Show me what I need to say in this season. Like, show me is such a quick little prayer But it is so powerful. And I have prayed it so many times in this particular season. Show me what I need to do. Show me if I need to back off. Show me the way. Show me how to put one foot in front of the other here.
And somebody listening is wanting to know, what does that typically look like? Can you give a practical example of how then he shows you? Is it through his word? Mm-hmm. Is it through circumstances? What does that usually look like?
Yeah, for you? I think it can look different in different, it can look different in different situations. So sometimes I do find an answer in God's word. You know, he'll show me something I didn't know before, or he'll give me an insight that applies to my son's life or my own life, my own response to what my son is going through. That's probably more often what it is that he gives me an insight into my own heart and opens my eyes so that I can see things his way instead of wanting and forcing the situation to be seen my way. That's very important. But I think oftentimes, so here's an example. My son just went through something, a difficult relationship, and we really liked the person that the person in the relationship. It wasn't a matter of not liking that person, but we're just watching him go through this. And, we had feelings about it, right? Like we had, we had opinions and feelings about it. And there were times when I really wanted to do or say something. And I, instead of that, instead of doing or being quick to say something or being quick to do something, I was trying to force myself to stop and pray instead. Lord, show me, show me what I need to see. And so the show me prayer can very much just mean a step back where we say, Lord, I'm going to, you know, place a guard over my mouth. Don't let me say anything that's not of you.
Which and is also a biblical prayer.
Absolutely. I pray that one a lot too. but just show me what the next, help me, give me eyes to see this the way that you see it and, and let it, give me the ability to trust you to let it unfold some. There's
patience,
an element.
Mom,
yes. There's an element with older kids of letting things unfold and trusting that God has them and not having to be in control of everything.
Yep. You're speaking truth. It's not easy to do, but
it is not.
And that's where our character is being developed at the same time, right? And our faith and our, So, oh, that's good. Okay. Well, we might have to, I could see a few separate conversations here from things you've mentioned that could take us down other paths. And I think praying for those young adult kids is a really good conversation, but we'll just wrap up there and point everybody to your book. I mean, Praying Mom's gonna apply to every stage of parenting. And so just tell people where they can hop on, find you if they want to just track you down social media or online right away.
Yes. So you can go to millionprayingmoms.com and find pretty much everything that you need. We have a podcast called Everyday Prayers with Million Praying Moms. And that is actually a Monday through Friday podcast where you can show up and get a devotion that is going to lead you to the Lord. It's going to be a gospel-focused devotion. And then it ends with a prayer that helps you know how to pray for this issue in your life. And so we're always directing moms to pray. So there's that. And then you can find me on Instagram. That's my favorite place. I'm on Facebook, Million Praying Moms. Everything is Million Praying Moms, but I love Instagram the most. It's my favorite. And so you can come hang out with me there.
Awesome. And now before we close, since we're talking about prayer, I would love it if you would close us with a prayer for the moms listening and the kids that they represent.
Yeah, I would love to. Thank you.
Awesome. Let's go.
Father, thank you so much for your word. It is truly a light to our paths, Father. And we thank you that when we often feel like we're in darkness and we confess, Lord, that there are so many things about parenting that can feel like we are living in darkness. Like we don't know what to do. We don't know what to say. We don't know how to fix certain situations. And we feel like we're running around with no lights on, that we can look to your word for the light. So we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that you haven't left us alone, that you haven't left us to try and figure things out on our own, and that you are the God who invites us into relationship with you, into conversation with you, into the conversation that you've already started. So I pray, Lord, for this, the mom that's listening, that is getting ready to send her kids back to school. And I just pray that you would help her to trust you. I pray that you would offer protection to every child that's represented in this conversation. Mm-hmm. I pray for your hand of protection and your sovereign hand that directs paths to where they're supposed to be. And I pray for those moms that they would hear your voice, mm-hmm. and that you would show them where you want them to go. But I also want to pray, Lord, for the mom who's listening right now, who is maybe listening to this conversation and saying, well, I guess I've kind of messed up because my kids are older and I didn't pray, or my kids are, you know, maybe I've missed the boat. I didn't even really think about praying until now. And I just want to encourage her with the words that it is never too late to be a praying mom. If your kids are this side of heaven, it is not too late and you can start praying now. And so, Father, I pray that you would ignite a fire and a desire in each of the moms that are praying, that are listening right now, to become a praying mom, to cover their children with your word and with that same light, Lord, that lights their path, knowing that it can light their children's as well. We offer our kids and our families to you and to your capable hands. Lord, we pray that you would hang on tightly to them and direct their paths in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Wow. Thank you, Brooke, so much. And of course, we'll want to have you back. So thanks for being here.
You're so welcome. Thanks for having me.
God bless and aloha. All right, friends, I hope you enjoyed that conversation, and I hope you are blessed by Brooke's prayer at the end as well. And you will find links to everything we talked about over in show notes, which today will be found at monicaswanson.com/Brooke, with an E at the end, - McLaughlin, and I will spell that for you. It's McGlothlin. All right. And if it's easier, you can also just go to monicaswanson.com/podcast. You'll find all the recent episodes there. Now, some fun news I've been so excited to share with all of you. I hinted at it last week, but starting next week, we are diving into a new series for this fall, and it's all about women's wellness. And many of you have seen Instagram reels I've shared. You know my heart for women's wellness. And so we're going to be talking about everything from body image to hormones to health and fitness. It's going to be such a great month. We're kicking it off next week, actually, with a special guest who you're going to love. She speaks so much wisdom and practical advice into this topic, but especially she's speaking to the younger women. So if you have daughters that you want to make sure grow up to be healthy and happy, this is going to be an episode you don't want to miss. In fact, at the end of our conversation, she speaks directly to the young women. Oh my goodness, it's so powerful. I cannot wait for you to hear this one. And then after that, I'm sharing some of my own story, and we're just going to dive right in and have a really great month. So please spread the word about the month of September and Women's Wellness Series here on the podcast. Can't wait. So I'll see you back here next week. And until then, aloha.